Fortnite Chapter 3, Season 3 is underway. What big changes are here? Darth Vader is here. Who knew that a Fortnite Darth Vader skin would ever be a thing? But it's here. We're going to be breaking down that news as well as other gaming news. We're not just covering Fortnite Chapter 3, Season 3. We are also looking at the Call of Duty reveal, which is scheduled for this week. We have all the details if you're wanting to tune into that and see everything that they have to offer. Fortnite is not the only game that has leaks and skins and things that get out a little bit early. Marvel Midnight Suns has had new leaks, and we know things about possible characters, pre-orders. Apparently, the game has also been overhauled, and we'll be taking a look at that. Lastly, Summer Game Fest news continues to come out, and the Xbox Bethesda Showcase has an update for us about extra content and extra shows we can watch here on The Rundown, a daily show we do on Reforge Radio to run down through the biggest gaming news stories we find for you, and we do it very quickly. And don't forget, every Friday is the Reforge Roundtable. We are always typically coming over from Reforge Gaming, which is our daily talk show where we focus on topics and gameplay. This is more of a news rundown. The two channels are quite a bit different, and we try to separate our content to make it consumable for you. We also have Reforge First Look as well as Reforge updates. So we should dive into this right away, because I mean, Fortnite, I think, is hugely influential over the gaming market. It's been hugely influential over what people think is possible with in-game live events, and they didn't let anybody down once again. They did not disappoint with their most recent update. We're pulling from Game Informer for this one. Fortnite's new season is here with huge changes in the dark side of the Force. After a night of being offline following the Fortnite Collision event, Fortnite is back, once again shaking up the norm with new biomes to explore, skins to unlock, and gameplay techniques to master. In the final moments of last night's event, we saw Obi-Wan Kenobi locked in combat with Darth Vader. The feared Sith Lord is one of the new skins that is unlockable when you purchase this season's Battle Pass. At a later date in the Battle Pass bonus tier, archaeologist Indiana Jones will join the fight. Indiana Jones will join the fight. Say that five times fast. Fortnite Chapter 3 Season 3 is officially called Vibin, and true to form, it brings a colorful party atmosphere to its new story thread and areas of the map. On the eastern coast, you will see two new areas to explore, Rave Cave and Reality Falls. These biomes feature giant mushrooms to bound across, as well as waterfalls and strange trees to interact with. The bound line makes me think of my kiddos. They'll see a dog or a chipmunk or a squirrel running, and they'll say, "Did you see it bounding?" They listen to audiobooks, and bounding is a term they commonly use. The tallest tree is called the Reality Tree, and it's in full bloom, spreading reality seed pods across the island. If you grab a seed and plant it, a reality sapling will grow. If you weed it, you'll be able to be rewarded loot. The more times a sapling is uprooted, the better the loot. Yes, you can get mythic weapons this way. So they are adding an in-game mechanic that can lead to mythic weapons if you take the time to do it. On the gameplay front, you can now use animals as mounts. Okay, chat, you know what I'm going to say, right? If you followed me for any semblance of time, what have I consistently said? Fortnite Battle Royale is simply a testing ground for a Fortnite MMORPG, and here we're getting even more glimpses at what they're testing that could make the world's largest and most successful MMORPG. We've got mounts. Mounts are quite literally an RPG, an MMORPG mechanic that you find most commonly. Seems way out of place in a game like this, but here we are. If you see a wolf or boar, see if you can catch a ride. Ballers are also back thanks to the reappearance of the Screwballer amusement park ride. The ballers have more health than before, can float on water, and are battery operated, meaning you know how long the ride will be. We'll have to wait to see what other surprises and changes await for us in Vibin, but it's off to a great start, and you gotta love seeing Indiana Jones and Darth Vader joining the character ranks. What did you think of the Fortnite Collision event? And are you excited to jump into the new season? Let us know in the comments section below. From where I sit, I think Fortnite MMORPG, if they do it, could be insanely successful. Because they're everywhere. It's a very optimized engine. They switched over to Unreal 5, so they're ahead of the curve. They're ahead of the curve there. Lots of games are switching to Unreal 5. So they're ahead of the curve with Unreal. They're on every platform. Mobile being a huge opportunity. We just this morning covered Diablo Immortal and the pay-to-win aspects there. And one of the main reasons it's been so successful and will probably continue to be successful is because it's on the mobile platform. And when you're on the mobile platform, you can get away with certain things a whole lot easier. And MMORPGs are continuing to show up in the mobile landscape, on iPads, on iPhones, etc. And I believe it's undeniable at this point that it is the leader as far as platform for gaming saturation, as far as the number of gamers playing. And a Fortnite MMORPG would be potentially just earth-shattering with respect of how many people would play it, especially if you make it completely 100% free-to-play. So Fortnite Chapter 3, Season 3, just continues to add to my theory that they are testing something. There is something more at play here. Watt says, do you think that they will make as much money from an MMO as they do with the Battle Royale? Well, if they implement a Battle Pass and if they implement cosmetics, they would make an absolute killing, yes, because cosmetics and battle passes do very well in those environments. We're already seeing that. Now, the worry would be and the concern would be that they would do similar things that, you know, Diablo Immortal is doing with, you know, drop rates and dungeons and rifts and, you know, increasing gear and loot boxes. I would hope that they would just completely steer clear of that. I actually think they could potentially make significantly more money because... As what Creature's saying, there's room for more cosmetics. Because they could sell cosmetics for anything. They could sell cosmetics for your mount. If you build a house, if you have a plane, if you have a mech suit, if you have a boat, if you have a car. Anything at that point would be a cosmetic. Now, they dip their toe into this a little bit already. You can get skins for your guns. You can get cosmetics for the vehicles and different things like that. But imagine, like, oh, yeah, you like that wolf? Oh, yeah, you like that boar? Yeah, no problem. We got cosmetics for the wolves and the boars now, too. We have an animal storefront where you just literally just buy things for the animals. A two-month milestone for Kat and a tier two as well. So generous, Kat. Thank you for supporting the channel in all the ways that you do, as well as my family. Guys, don't forget, you can do voluntary memberships here or gifted memberships here on this channel. Once we hit 200 members on this channel, there will be a weekly segment on Mondays after the rundown with my wife as a members-only treat for you guys. Fortnite's not pay to win, as it's just cosmetics. That I think they would keep it that way. I think if my theory is correct, okay, if my theory is correct, and if Fortnite Battle Royale is a testing ground for a Fortnite MMORPG, I believe they would keep it free-to-play, cosmetically driven. They wouldn't need to. The ecosystem of Fortnite and buying things to look cool would be in full swing, because there'd be so many things that you could add. If you're crafting and building your own homestead, if you have your own vehicles, if you have a mech, if you have a mount, all of those things, your weapons, you could get skins for your weapons. I mean, that's something that is in Diablo Immortal. You can make your sword and shield look cool. These are all things that they could make a significant amount of money from. I think I'm going to tell you right now what the primary barrier for a successful Fortnite MMORPG is. It's servers. It's servers and bandwidth. They had to shutter the Paragon servers just so they could use them and utilize them for Fortnite. I think that they would just end up running out of server space, because the MMORPG would be housed in a completely different server infrastructure, which means they would need to have all these servers spun up and ready to go for an absolute monsoon of support and gameplay. Because I think the graphical appeal, they could make an amazing looking, like, fantasy world where, you know, the armor, the weapons, the mounts, the world. They've tested every art style you could possibly think of with characters like Kratos, Darth Vader, Deadpool, all these characters in Fortnite have come into the game, and now we have Indiana Jones, you know, a Fortnite Darth Vader skin. I don't think I ever would have, you know, suspected that we would see the day. Now, I do think Disney is restricting them potentially from having the lightsabers be usable as pickaxes. Maybe they didn't want them to be usable as weapons or something, but I thought there was a time where you could have lightsabers in the game and use them to attack enemy players. So if you're just tuning in, we're covering Fortnite Chapter 3 Season 3. It's reinforcing my idea that they are building an MMORPG. I'm looking at the mounts, I'm looking at the world changes, the gigantic live events, the gigantic beings that they put into the game for those live events would be amazing. You can use them as weapons. Yeah, there was a time where lightsabers were in the game usable as weapons, and people were kind of wondering why they're not selling lightsaber pickaxes, because that seems like just such an absolute dunker of an idea. That was literally going on in April. Yeah, that's what I thought, TJ. I was like, wait, I don't understand. There were people theorizing, like, oh, well, they're not selling lightsaber pickaxes since you can use them as weapons. I'm like, okay, it is a weapon, number one. Let's not, like, it's not a tool, it's a weapon. And you know, people are getting cut in half in the shows and stuff. So why would that not be in the game as a usable pickaxe? It's very, very strange. Last season had a lightsaber weapon that you could pick up. Maybe that's why they're not doing them as pickaxes, so that it's not confusing. Maybe there's going to be a lightsaber event this season, and they don't want it to be a point of confusion where you can be using a pickaxe to trick people or something. They did have lightsabers as weapons in Fortnite, and there have been plenty of Star Wars skins and other cosmetics. Yeah, I don't think it's because they don't want lightsabers used as weapons. My guess would be they have a planned... they probably have a planned thing where they are going to bring back the lightsaber event, and they don't want you to be able to, you know, essentially debate people or trick people with a fake out, right? Like, pull out your pickaxe and everybody thinks like something else is going on. It was awesome. They had blasters too, and you could deflect shots. The only thing I can think is maybe they don't want the lightsaber to do only 10 damage. Yo, it's good, Atwood. I prefer Apex over Fortnite because of the hero system. It makes more strategy. I can 100% see people saying they prefer Apex Legends over Fortnite because of the hero element. I do. I think the hero element completely changes the flow of the game. I will say this, the Fortnite no build mode, I think was just so much fun when we played it. I had a really, really good time with it. It made me kind of fall back in love with Fortnite. Fortnite kind of went through that honeymoon phase where everybody was sort of enjoying it, and then it quickly became, you know, a bit of a sweatbox for people that don't sort of know life, the game, and play the game like crazy. I think that is... It makes sense that every game kind of goes in that trajectory, but I do think that Epic expedited some of that with how they added, you know, the different weapons of the, you know, the spray meta, sort of compounded by the auto building meta and the turtling and the fight avoidance, which led to more third party. I think some of that was expedited by Epic and some of their design choices. I do. Guys, remember, we have Switch streams, so I brought you over from Reforged Gaming. Make sure and smash the like button. Make sure you're on live chat so you don't miss what people are saying. We're already having a pretty strong turnout. We like to come here in the afternoons and do the rundown, where we quickly deal with news topics and move on to the next. We came from Reforged Gaming, which is more topic-driven and gameplay-driven. If you're not subscribed to Reforged Gaming, we did a Diablo Immortal pay-to-win discussion this morning, and then I reacted to Young Yaz's video about Diablo Immortal pay-to-win. I might try Fortnite again with the no build. The no build was really fun. They added new traversal options with the way that you could run. They did some pretty cool stuff with like this active shield that you can utilize, because when you're out in the open, you kind of need something to protect you since you can no longer build. So using that shield to, you know, to duck in to cover very quickly, I actually think is a great way. Because you basically get shot, and then you have an opportunity, to, you know, like, you basically get it back. So before it actually hits your real shield, you're given the opportunity to you're given the opportunity to like get it back. You know, you just have to get into cover. It's like you have to just be in non-combat for a certain amount of time, and then you're able to get it back. Which that's one of the primary things they've always tried to do in Fortnite, is try to encourage that open world movement. That's why they did Cone of Accuracy. Cone of Accuracy means that the gun is not a laser beam. They didn't like the idea that when you play a game like H1Z1 or PUBG, you could die to somebody that's just sort of hiding, and they just sort of laser beam you from a building or like a bush or something. The no build mode was the best thing they could have done. I play it when I'm on break at work, or I just want to mix things up during the game nights at home. Distorted says they've had Mandalorian, Boba Fett, Kylo Ren, Red Troopers, Stormtroopers, Rey, Finn, and some others, if I remember correctly. Yeah, they've had a ton. I couldn't believe the other day, Distorted, when we ticked off, we just listed all the Marvel characters that have been in Fortnite. It was very clear that they have really, really formed a great relationship. They've formed a great relationship with the Disney Marvel funnel of content. You know, I used to prefer Warzone to Fortnite, says Atwood, due to the fact that I disliked the building because I could not get used to it. However, I do like Fortnite much more now since they have the no build mode. I can now actually enjoy all the collaborations because I don't have to build. Yeah, I remember when they did the Borderlands collaboration, I was really excited to get a Psycho skin. I thought that was pretty dope that they did that collaboration. I thought it looked awesome. I thought they did a great job making him look the way that he was supposed to look outside of the Borderlands universe inside another game. I thought he looked awesome. So yeah, and then they brought over Kratos, and they brought over, you know, Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn, Horizon Forbidden West, which I thought was another great a great way to do it. If you're just tuning in, we are opening up the rundown today here on Reforge Radio, talking about Fortnite Chapter 3, Season 3. What did you think of the Fortnite Collision event? Did anybody in chat actually experience it or watch it? I did not get a chance to. I was busy all weekend with the fam, so I did not get to get a chance to see it. I didn't get a chance to see people's reactions to it or the response. I did see that the game was offline for, you know, a day or so after they did it, but I do think that from what I'm reading, it went over very well and people thought it was pretty awesome. I played no build. It was fun. I forgot about bullet drop and I kept getting shot, but I did win a few games after I got back into the flow. Creature says, I watched it as expected. It was dope. And now I want a Mortal Kombat collaboration, says Atwood. If they can do Street Fighter, Predator, Terminator, and Xenomorph, then they can do Mortal Kombat. It's, yeah, they could. Yeah, I'm surprised that one hasn't happened yet, to be honest. Isn't the build part what separates Fortnite from every other BR? Well, okay, that's actually, I think, a good question. The building in Fortnite is what separates it. However, the traversal options that they added in the no build mode, along with the intrinsic shield, I think sets it apart from just being like Apex, PUBG, or H1Z1. I disagreed with some of the people, like Eugene was one of the people saying, this just looks like another one of those games. It just looks like cartoon H1Z1. It just looks like cartoon PUBG. I completely disagree with that take. Until you've actually played the no build mode and experienced the new traversal, experienced that shield mechanic, played with some of your buds, it is not cartoon H1Z1. It is not cartoon PUBG. It is still very much Fortnite, and I thought it was excellent. I thought it was super fun. Yes, we played mostly bots, and yes, the live players we played against were not nearly as sweaty as the build players, but that's one of the primary reasons that building, yes, while separating Fortnite from other games, also ends up making you feel completely ostracized from the game if you're not a master builder. Because what ends up happening is you end up in servers and matches with people that are just absolutely bonkers at the build. And if you're not, it doesn't even feel like you're competing. It's not a matter of like, I just need to learn the map and the angles and get better at aiming. It's no, you literally need to train or you're going to get just absolutely just trounced by the builders. No build makes you check your options and be strategic. The game flow is still very fast. It feels so much better than any other third-person BR, says Watts. My son and I joined the event. It was pretty fun, says Pit Viper. I just played Fortnite last night. I'm a master builder. Sure, yo, I bet, Hilly. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm sure it was great. One thing Fortnite has nailed is the big events. You're a master builder in Lego. There you go. Mortal Kombat in Fortnite would be awesome. Mortal Kombat's my favorite fighting game for sure. I think the beauty of what they've built, and this is why I'm telling you, this is why I think they're building something far bigger than just a battle royale, is the art style in the world and the way they've been able to adapt Kratos and Aloy and Deadpool and all the Star Wars characters and all the Marvel characters. Like, the Fortnite Marvel characters alone is just like an absolute laundry list. And the way that they've been able to do it, I think, just shows they could basically collaborate with anybody. You know, they could collaborate with anybody. And I think that's the beauty of it, is if they can get you in and you enjoy a little no build, or you enjoy a little bit of the game or the content, and you're getting to wear a skin that, you know, you're getting to enjoy a skin that you ordinarily wouldn't have even, you know, considered having or using in a game like that, because you just steered clear of it. I would say that they could continue to grow the game. Now, especially if they do an MMORPG, because there's always going to be people that look at a game like a battle royale and say, bro, I can't play a battle royale. I don't like the premise. I don't like the idea. I don't want to do that. But you give me like a big open world looter with big monsters and world events and world bosses, and then you could like go down underground into like dungeons and just do like a loot crawler. They already have the colors, they have the gear, they have the aesthetics, they have the gameplay. The game feels great. It's expandable. I think it's coming. I'm telling you, I see a future where there's an epic MMO where you can be almost any character you want to be. Yeah, you could, because you could literally create a universe where you literally are Darth Vader and you go play like a Darth Vader game. Like, it might not even be, I've said this previously in other talks, the Fortnite MMORPG theory that I formed may be too small. I may be picking up breadcrumbs to something much larger. Like, it's not like, imagine that I'm picking up breadcrumbs and I'm tracking what I think is an elephant when it's really a brontosaurus. Right? Like, that's what I think is happening. They could be potentially building a Fortnite metaverse, which would then contain every single type of game that you could think. Mini games made and curated by the community, mini games or fully fledged games built by other development partners. So you could get development partners to come into there's the Fortnite Unreal 5 editor that they're releasing to the public. They could start to hand that off to dev teams and say, hey, why don't you bring your game here? Here's a great idea. Why don't you launch some mini game that is, you know, imagine playing some mini game as Indiana Jones, and you play through this mini game. There's two or three levels. It's really fun. It takes you a couple hours to beat it, and you're playing it for free, or maybe, you know, it costs $5 or something in the Fortnite metaverse. And that game is essentially a commercial or an advertisement for a much bigger real game that's going to launch under its own heading outside of the Fortnite metaverse. That is something I could really, really see being super successful for something that, again, would end up being, you know, larger. It would be larger than a Fortnite MMORPG. Because Fortnite MMORPGs, I do think, I think MMORPGs are commonly thought of as games where you have to dump like a ton of time in, and it's just this slog and it's this grind. But if they created a game of games, a universe of games, it would look and feel completely different than what I've envisioned. Because I've envisioned like an open world MMORPG with loot, and you dress your character up and everything else. Because there was the Fortnite leak with the limited time mode, where it was going to be like an RPG, where you could say, hey, come in and play this, and, you know, there was going to be like a big world boss. It was like you could see like a monkey in the back. He was, you know, really large, and there was like four people in front of him, and they looked like four classes from an RPG, you know, wizard, a warrior, an archer, etc. And I think that could be a testing ground for the real thing. But that may have all been shuttered when they realized we need to be looking at the metaverse, not an MMORPG. Fortnite's going to be Ready Player One. Once VR is something similar comes out, that's what it's trying to be. I have a lot of people that have that think that like Fortnite will be sort of the first Ready Player One experience where it's a game of games. It's a literal universe of games, and you just go in and play. And that is a potential reality that they're looking at. Because Fortnite Creative has already kind of tested that groundwork. They've kind of already, you know, laid that out as something that could be something that could work. I think something that could be a place where it's a hub of people creating stuff. I know that they invested along with Sony a couple million into Lego, and they want to build a Roblox game, basically a game where, like with Roblox, you crowdsource the content, people can make money. You know, they are the closest. They really are them and Roblox. Yeah, Roblox hasn't done the greatest job of protecting minors. That's been one of the major criticisms of Roblox. That's been something that both Epic, Sony, and Lego were sort of outspoken about, that, you know, they wanted to make sure that everybody knew, hey, we're not going to be like that. We are not going to be like that. We are going to ensure the safety of the people that use the platform, because that would be, I think, one of the fundamental worries and concerns when you do something like that, is that it will attract a younger audience. It will attract a similar funnel of activity as what we've seen with Roblox. So if Epic Games is smart, they'll be genuinely investing in VR and the Ready Player One experience for sure. I can make my own microtransactions. Yeah. What's good, MickDO9? Finally made it here. Good afternoon. If you guys are coming over from Reforge Gaming, or you found us on YouTube through search or suggest, welcome on into The Rundown, a daily show we do here on Reforge Radio, running down through gaming news, covering Fortnite Chapter 3, Season 3, the Fortnite Collision event, everything going on. I am speculating, we looked at this article here by Game Informer, and you can see here these mounts. I am speculating that this right here is just another indication that they're testing for something much larger, a Fortnite MMORPG or a Fortnite metaverse that would contain something significantly larger than the Battle Royale. Mountable animals, I think, really points to that. I think without a doubt, that's something that seems very much bigger and different than just a Battle Royale feature. If you notice Lono listed off a bunch of Sony characters but failed to mention the best video game character ever, Master Chief, Sony show confirmed. That's right. And I read my name as Loney because I assumed you were going to call me Loney because of the statement. Hopefully they wouldn't also exploit young hobby developers like Roblox does. Right, that would be the concern, is that it gets exploitative or that people aren't protected. Sure. You can be playing any Fortnite later? No, this channel is all gaming news focused. We don't get into gameplay here. We do topics and gameplay over on Reforge Gaming. Reforge Radio is primarily a show tuned to blast through gaming news subjects and to give you just a quick rundown. And we usually spend the first 20 or 30 minutes on the opening topic, and then each topic after that gets a slightly less amount of time. Kratos would destroy Master Chief? Well, yeah, it's a god versus a dude in a suit. I would think so. I would like to see the sales of Sony skins versus Master Chief. Yeah, given that Sony got Epic to pay for crossplay, because Sony made up the majority of the micro spending in the Fortnite universe as compared to Microsoft and the other platforms, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if we saw that the Sony skins sold incredibly well, you know, by way of comparison. Ask yourself a question. Would you be okay with your children at any age plugging themselves into a metaverse world for an extended period of time? No, yeah. I would think that as a dad who's pretty educated in the brain science behind screen exposure, and we've limited screen time for our kids based on that research, the neurological studies, the psychological studies, all the things that have gone into that, I would argue that any sort of VR metaverse experience should be reserved for adults, you know, If you're under the age, I would say be very cautious, even if you're under the age of like 25, because you're, you know, your brain's not fully formed yet, you know, all the way to 25, which is why, you know, binge drinking pre 25 at college, that, you know, that that college culture is actually pretty dangerous for that reason alone. But yeah, I would not let my children plug in, for sure. Not at all. I think there'll be experiences for adults versus kids. I'm not talking about the experiences. I'm talking about the actual impact the technology has on the human brain. I would not let my kids do it. No. I don't let my kids play games more than once a week. They play video games on Saturday with me for an hour and a half. They get to watch a screen or a movie once a week, maybe, if, you know, if mom has an appointment or needs to do something. And that's just purely based off of all of the scientific research. Like, it doesn't matter to me that they offer plenty of kids games, and I'm sure they would offer plenty of kids VR games, but I wouldn't let them do it just from everything I've looked at. Now, you do whatever you feel is right for your kids and your family and whatever you think is best, but the research behind all of it is pretty, I think, compelling to absolutely restrict screen time for children under certain ages. I don't think kids should be allowed to use it until a certain age, flat screen and carefully, yes. Yeah, if you think about the impact of like flat screen exposure that we're already looking at, you know, you have to think about that. And you got to compare that then to what VR would do as well. It could be very, very detrimental to development, you know, and overstimulation of the brain. So, guys, make sure and smash that like button. 6 more likes to 100 likes. Thanks, everybody who came over. That's our opening story, Fortnite Chapter 3, Season 3. Now, our next one, okay, our next announcement is we've got a variety of things to discuss here. This is all centered around Call of Duty. And we've kind of already touched on this a little bit just so people know, but Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 reveal announcement for June 8th. So this is now confirming what we already theorized. We're pulling this from futuregamereleases.com. Now, based on the trailer, this was my prediction. They had the J822 inside that artwork trailer, and I said, I think that's June 8th. It's the day before Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest. That would be the perfect time, and it has now been confirmed that our prediction was correct. So, Infinity Ward's upcoming first-person shooter, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, will get its first reveal on June 8th. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 is inevitably one of the most anticipated first-person shooters for 2022 and has wholly honored its previous announcement regarding the reveal. The announcement for the official worldwide reveal comes to Call of Duty's official Twitter profile. The tweet itself can be found below, so you can say, oh, it potentially has disturbing content or whatever. The ultimate weapon is team. Worldwide reveal, June 8th, 10 a.m. Pacific time. So that is Wednesday, June 8th. At 1 o'clock, right? That's 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Modern Warfare 2 is the sequel to 2019's Call of Duty Modern Warfare. This will be an attempt to reboot Infinity Ward's most successful title in the rows of Activision Blizzard, which undoubtedly reached incredible milestones. Something Activision Blizzard to cheer on and hopefully repeat. The release of Modern Warfare 2 is expected to positively impact the already ongoing Battle Royale counterpart, which suffered a loss of player base after the transition in the Cold War era. The reason for that is quite evident and familiar, and the release of Modern Warfare 2 will hopefully bring Call of Duty back to its feet. Now, there's other articles in here that that Creature, you know, snagged for me. This is part of the announcement. This is part of the reveal. This is part of sort of the news circuit around Modern Warfare. This one is from PC Gamer. Modern Warfare 2 is bringing Call of Duty back to Steam. A new tweet from the Steam account teased the return. So this is an update. All right, hang on a second. Hang on. This is updated on June the 2nd, so 4 days ago. Call of Duty's return to Steam looks all but certain at this point. On Thursday, the Call of Duty Twitter account tweeted, "The ultimate weapon is team," setting a reveal date for Modern Warfare 2 on Wednesday, June 8th. Minutes later, Valve's official Steam Twitter account responded with the eye emoji. Is team subtle? Yeah, is steam is Steam. So the original story in 2017, Call of Duty Black Ops 4 was released on Battle.net, the first game in the series available on Activision Blizzard's launcher rather than Steam. The trend continued with subsequent Call of Duties. You got Modern Warfare, Warzone, Black Ops Cold War, and Vanguard. That trend might be reversing with this year's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 if we can read into splash art spotted on Steam and then posted to Reddit by user Kalanine. The art, which was found at the bottom pages of the Call of Duty DLC, was quickly removed, and now blank images show underneath pages like the one collecting DLC for Black Ops 3. While it was still live, the splash showed the same image of Lieutenant Simon Ghost Riley being used to promote Modern Warfare 2 in. For example, the tweet announcing its release date. Cheers to Redditor Gary's Play, who saved a link of the background art. While it could be a simple error on the part of whoever looks after updating the Call of Duty pages on Steam, the series returning to Valve's storefront would make sense. Modern Warfare 2 will be the first Call of Duty release since Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard. No, that's not true. They have not acquired them yet. That's not accurate. Microsoft has been bringing more games to Steam in recent years. The Halo series, for instance, as well as Gears 5, Sea of Thieves, Minecraft Dungeons, and the last couple Forza Horizon games. That should be corrected in the article here from PC. No, that's not true. It will not be the first Call of Duty released since Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard, because Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard is not complete yet. So that game may launch before the acquisition is complete. So that could be an error, an erroneous claim. It's hard to imagine, even if Call of Duty does return to Steam, that Blizzard games like World of Warcraft will follow it, however. And even if Modern Warfare 2 does come out on Steam, that doesn't guarantee you won't have to use Battle.net to launch it as well. That's still the case with Ubisoft games and Uplay, Ubisoft Connect. We'll find out closer to Modern Warfare 2's launch, October 28th. Yeah, by the time we get to October 28th, the acquisition with Activision Blizzard, we don't know if that's gonna go through that quickly. I thought that was set to conclude next year. I did not think that was something that they were doing prior to that. That's my understanding of the Microsoft acquisition of Activision Blizzard, is that it's happening next year. It's completing then, which means Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 will be launching before that. So we'll see. One final piece of news for Call of Duty fans. We'll all include this under the Call of Duty heading. From Xfire.com, Treyarch has big plans for Call of Duty Zombies. According to Treyarch's associate director, Kevin Drew, the studio has big plans for Zombies and want to grow the team to realize them. After last year's failed Zombies venture in Call of Duty Vanguard from Treyarch, the studio is hungry to redeem itself. Treyarch's associate director Kevin Drew confirmed on Twitter that the Call of Duty studio has big plans for Zombies, adding that Treyarch, quote, wants to grow the team to realize its plans. The only question is, when are we going to see the next Zombies game? Here's Kevin Drew's tweet. We have big plans for Zombies and want to grow the team to realize them. There are several design positions open at a range of experience level, so it's a great time to apply if you're interested. Treyarch surprised a lot of gamers when it confirmed that it would work with Sledgehammer Games on a Zombies mode for Call of Duty Vanguard. Zombies mode is a Treyarch exclusive feature, so fans expected a lot after finding out that they would get a Zombies mode for two straight years. Unfortunately, it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. The good news here is that Treyarch is already working on the next Call of Duty Zombies game. Of course, this is assuming that Treyarch's popular mode isn't going to become a separate franchise. Earlier this year, there were reports that Treyarch was working on a standalone Zombies game. This is neither confirmation or denial. However, if we believe the talk that Sledgehammer is the next Call of Duty studio, Treyarch could come out with a standalone Zombies game in 2023, if not 2024. Having said that, we have little doubt regarding Treyarch's ability to make a good Zombies game or mode. It doesn't matter if it's a standalone release or part of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. The fan favorite gameplay experience is in good hands, with Treyarch hell-bent on proving doubters wrong. So this one, to me, is it's shocking that they decided to do it, and then when they did it, they ended up actually messing it up. Like, for many people, like, I think that's a huge deal. Like, Zombies, see, for me, I never got big into Zombies. Diablo, I never did. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to just blare your guys' eardrums out. I'm supposed to have Chrome muted, and I didn't. Sorry about that. I never actually got into zombies myself. I thought it was typically a pretty sort of non-enjoyable experience. It felt very repetitious. It felt very much like a, you know, you just sort of do the same thing and you can't save your checkpoints and all of that. It felt very flat tire. They did something like this in one of the Call of Duties and it was called Survival, and I felt very much the same way about it, right? It felt very much repetitious and all of that. Let's see. I forgot to put the Young Yay Diablo Immortal video. I forgot to put this in the description. If you guys missed that coverage, make sure and go watch that. I forgot to put his link in the description. It just dawned on me. We were like reading through these articles and highlighting, and it made me think of him because he was doing the same thing. He was like highlighting like as he read. But for me personally, I just never could get into zombies. My friends loved Call of Duty Zombies. There were people that literally would only buy Call of Duty for the zombies. I just never was too big into it. It never really drew me in. And the survival mode, same deal. It was one of those things where if you loved it, it was like that's all you wanted to do, right? That's all you wanted to play. That's all you wanted to be involved with was just zombies. It's almost like you wouldn't even touch the other parts of the game. You would just touch the zombies. You would just touch that with your friends. You just kind of like spend your entire day there. And I don't necessarily think that that's like a bad thing or a wrong thing, but if you're going to do something like that, it almost needs to be so good that it can stand alone, which may give credence to the rumor that they're building a standalone zombies game. They may be considering that. They may be weighing those options and thinking through, can we just do a completely standalone Call of Duty Zombies? Zombies were repetitive, but the Easter eggs were awesome when they started incorporating them in the deeper stories. Zombies is just a chill mode, says Smashville. I have several friends that just play zombies, says Creature. It was something to do with the lads, have a bevy and shoot and chill. Exactly. If I'm on Call of Duty, it's just zombies now, says Sam. Call of Duty Zombies has a decent-sized, loyal, separate community. It does. It really does. Vanguard is an okay comp game, an okay pub game, nothing to write home about. They should have made a standalone zombie game mode a while ago, says Pit Viper. I feel like if you made a standalone Call of Duty Zombies game just all by itself, I feel like that's the best route to say, you know, this is it. This is the full game. This is everything we've poured our efforts into, you know? And there's review keys available for Blast Brigade on PC, Switch, and all these things. So they just brought Blast Brigade versus the Evil Legion of Dr. Cred to Steam Deck. I was like, why am I getting this email for review codes for that game? That game's been out for a while. That's why. Another Steam Deck certified game. Zombies are awesome. Extinction was better. I absolutely love Call of Duty Zombies, says Distorted. It hasn't been a good one in a few years, in my opinion. Although, I did very much enjoy Cold War's upgrade system for the perks. They should keep that for future Zombies. COD Zombies is, if I'm on, it's COD Zombies now. They could double their money if they did it as a standalone. I think standalone offshoot things can work. I mean, they did the Ghost of Tsushima Legends thing, and then they sold that separately. I think it can. I think it can work in the right circumstances. Echoing Nightmare, players will experience an intense, densely packed, increasing challenging event that stretches their ability to stay in the fight as long as possible. Have you heard about the new season for Diablo 3? No, I hadn't heard that. That's what they're calling it, though. Echoing Nightmare, huh? I didn't care much about Call of Duty Zombies until they started introducing different classes and specialists. Then it got really fun, in my opinion, said Rogue. Taking zombies out would hurt sales numbers for the mainline game, wouldn't it? You know, that's probably true. Yeah, a lot of people would probably say, yeah, I don't have a reason to buy the game now. Yeah. That's very, very likely. The issue is that zombies is considered a meh gameplay. Was it always done to death to everyone in Resident Evil and zombie style I want to have now? Oh, it was done to death. It was done to death by everyone. Got it. Yeah, a lot of people a lot more people were doing zombie content after that. You know, when the big dogs themselves do it, when Call of Duty does something with zombies, then, you know, everybody's going to do zombies. I remember when, you know, Angry Joe did that. Hey Joe, you want to play a zombie game? Hey Joe, you want to play a zombie game? Like, that was pretty funny. He was kind of in a humorous way. He was saying, you know, that zombie games are played out. Akuta Papa says Battle.net is dead, touching on Call of Duty going to Steam, going back to Steam. Most people hate it. Once Microsoft buys, you'll probably see the launcher die. Do you guys think that's going to happen once the Microsoft Blizzard Activision acquisition goes through? Is the Battle.net launcher, you know, going to go the way the Buffalo? Is it out of here? You know, is that on its way out? If they release standalone zombies, a lot of the other zombie games will get left behind. Yeah, I disagree. A lot of the Black Ops game zombies were great. I played those as much as the multiplayer, and I'm a huge COD head. Sorry I came in late. Thought we were talking about horde modes. Caught up now. No, you're good. You're totally good. Battle.net dies the day they release World of Warcraft 2. I think it'd be pretty bad for them if they use the Battle.net launcher, TBH says Wheezy. Imagine a zombie DLC campaign in the spirit of Blood Dragon for Far Cry. Oh, that was so good. I don't think Battle.net's going away, says Wheezy. 100% Battle.net's DOA, says Butters. It's only on people's computers because of being the only place we can get those games. Microsoft can't buy Steam. No way it would pass antitrust inquiry. Oh, I don't think they're going to buy Steam, Zubair, but they might just be like, hey, let's just simplify this. You know? A 2-month milestone for Behemoth. Thank you for renewing your membership over here, Behemoth. Wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft just moved everything from Battle.net over to the Windows Store, or if not, to Steam. They might not like Battle.net. Yeah, I don't know. And here's why. Microsoft might not like the idea of having property in another launcher. I mean, it might be unappealing in their mind. I'm not saying that it is unappealing. I'm just saying, within the spectrum of their business strategy and what they're trying to do, you could certainly see them saying, we don't like this. We don't want our property in something in the Battle.net launcher, you know, especially if it's associated with Activision Blizzard and they can kind of, you know, continue to distance those associations, you know. They need to make the Windows Store a lot better than the garbage it is now. Oh, I don't disagree with you there at all, Wheezy, but their strategy may not really consider what you're saying. Their strategy, being corporately minded, they could say it doesn't make much sense for us to buy Activision Blizzard and keep this stupid Battle.net launcher around. It's confusing. We need a unified ecosystem. You know how these corporate heads like to talk, right? We need a unified ecosystem. And they unify the ecosystem by getting rid of anything, that is associated with the old brand, the old places, you know. That's what I would think, is they would want to keep that, pure. Because more often than not, whenever you're acquiring a company like this, I would imagine you'd be looking at everything that they own and all the property that they have and saying, yeah, we don't want this attached to the brand anymore. It's associated with that era. It's associated with that ownership, and we're not. We have no desire to be in that funnel anymore. In that funnel of thought, in that way of people, like, gamers are gonna look and remember. I can see Call of Duty taking all the past zombie maps and making a super zombies map like Warzone, and then share the resources from Warzone and zombies. I think they'll use Battle.net as an account situation for mobile titles moving forward. Have Battle.net account linked to your Blizzard mobile titles. If I remember right, didn't they do this with Bethesda in April? What, like, move all their stuff? Is that what they did? Are Blizzard fans invested in their launcher? Hilly says, I am, for the friends list I have on it. It would be a bummer. Anytime something like this happens, it does. It, like, resets your friends list. So for sure, I think that that's an issue to consider. If you're just tuning in, we covered Fortnite Chapter 3, Season 3. We also covered the Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 release date, which is June 8th. We were correct in our speculation about the J822 number in the trailer. We're now also talking about Call of Duty returning to Steam and what that means for the Battle.net launcher, what this means in the grand scheme of the Microsoft acquisition of Blizzard Activision. So if you're just tuning in, that's what we're talking about. Thanks for a strong turnout today on radio. We appreciate the support of this sister channel that we launched to enable us to do a rundown of gaming news, since we already cover so many gaming topics and gameplay over on Reforge Gaming. Reforge Radio is our new sister channel project for live stream content in addition to the daily streams on Reforge Gaming. Super Zombie Map was Transit from Black Ops 2. I have like four different launchers. It gets tiring. It does. I understand why companies want to have their own launcher. I understand why they want to silo stuff so they have their own control of things. But at the same time, I do think that it can get a little annoying. I think it can. So, well, we have more news to cover. You guys can keep discussing Call of Duty, Call of Duty Zombies, Call of Duty Launcher. You can keep discussing all that. No problem at all. PC Gamer bringing us another one here. Marvel Midnight Suns leak reveals Spider-Man, Scarlet Witch, and a release date. So we don't know how locked solid any of this is, but a late 2021 delay pushed Marvel Midnight Suns, the turn-based tactical RPG being developed by XCOM studio Firaxis, into the second half of 2022. An official release date still has not been announced, but it may have slipped out thanks to leaked box art and pre-order details. The leaked images have been taken offline by a copyright claim issued by 2K Games, although they're still easy enough to find if you're interested. But as noted by Nils Arsenmeier on Twitter, they indicated an October 6th release date and that three editions will be available: the standard release, an enhanced edition with five premium skins, Captain America Future Soldier, Captain Marvel, Marvel, Magic, Phoenix 5, Nico Minoru, Sister Grimm, and Wolverine from X-Force, and a legendary edition with 23 premium skins and the 4 DLC season pass. 9 of the 12 Marvel heroes who appear in Midnight Suns are already known: Doctor Strange, Magic, Iron Man, Wolverine, Ghost Rider, Blade, Captain America, Nico Minoru, and Captain Marvel. I'm probably saying that Nico one wrong. And the box art leak revealed two more: Spider-Man and Scarlet Witch. That leaves one character still unaccounted for. Could it actually be Morbin time? Which, while the player will take on the role of the 13th hero, known as the Hunter. Interestingly, the Legendary Edition also features alternate cover art that replaces the good guys with the bad guys: Lilith, Mother of Demons, and Chief Antagonist, flanked by demonic versions of characters including Venom, the Hulk, and Sabretooth, who was previously shown in a gameplay demo. Venom and Hulk are new, and it's not a huge leap to assume that you'll be throwing hands with these folks and possibly other Marvel villains and heroes as you quest to save the world. There's another evil character on the cover who's a bit harder to identify, but it's possibly a demonic Scarlet Witch. It certainly wouldn't be the first time Wanda allegiance was unclear. All of this is unconfirmed, but I'd expect to have official word come down soon. Summer Game Fest, which will feature games from dozens of publishers and developers, is set to kick off in 2022 E3 season, even though there's no E3 this year, on June the 9th. Our very own PC gaming show will follow a few days later on June 12th. I'm less interested in the skin packs and the characters. I want to know what significant changes they made to the game. Have they completely jettisoned away from turn-based strat? Have they jettisoned away from XCOM? Will it be more adventure? Now, my own theory about the reason they have box art that shows the bad guys is you will likely have separate campaign or separate mode or something where you can play as the baddies. That would be my guess. In the grand scheme of these games design, you know, flip everything around, right? And you let people play. As Lono covered the new info about Tom Clancy, Heartland game sounds quite promising. No, that may end up being a lead for tomorrow on gaming. I haven't been able to see any of that yet. I wanted XCOM 3, but this will have to do for now. The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Or Morbers. Yeah, the Mighty Morphin Power Morbers. That's right. I don't mind XCOM, but card-based is my biggest issue. Well, and already, you know, they're coming out of the gate with the microtransactions and the pre-orders and the skins and the characters, and it's like, didn't they say this game would have no microtransactions? There were headlines about this game that said there would be no microtransactions. Okay, so my question is, if that's true, then why are you kicking things off so heavily with skins and characters? There were numerous headlines about how Midnight Suns was not going to have microtransactions. Number one, I don't know why you would paint yourself into that corner, especially with a Marvel game. You're not going to sell skins. You're not going to sell cosmetics. It's a freaking Marvel game. How are you going to make any money after the first 2 months? How? DLC, maybe. But outside of that, and Marvel games don't have the greatest track record right now. So you're going to have to really win people's trust. And I don't know if you're going to do it just because you're, oh, no microtransactions. It's 2K. Their business model is literally just lie. They did indeed say that. It will get worse. They did the same with Avengers. Hey folks, regarding our battle card system, there are no loot boxes in Marvel Midnight Suns or related microtransactions to get more cards. We will have purely cosmetic character skins for purchase that do not affect game balance in any way. So they're walking back no microtransactions. They're walking that back. They are going to sell skins, which I'm totally fine for. Creature and I literally almost covered this once. Midnight Suns, no micro transactions. We had the article saved for like a really, really long time where they said there would be no microtransactions. It says here, Midnight Suns won't have microtransactions. Now, that's the headline, and then it says, all cosmetics, baby. Hey, folks, regarding the battle card system. So back when they said that they would sell cosmetics that won't affect gameplay, all these gaming outlets ran with the headline that isn't true. That's a false headline. There's a guy literally quoting that tweet, Weezy, and his headline of his article was, Marvel Midnight Suns will have no microtransactions. That's what a cosmetic is. That's a microtransaction. There's nothing wrong with calling that a microtransaction, but when you run with the headline that there'll be no microtransactions, and then people hear that you're selling skins, they might react like me and be like, wait, I read a bunch of headlines that said there would be no micros. People equate microtransactions to pay to win at this point. Jiminy freaking Christmas. Are you guys starting to see why I'm not being pedantic and I'm not splitting hairs and I'm not purely arguing semantics to argue semantics when I say that calling things by the appropriate categories is so dadgum important? This is why it's important, because if not, you end up with headlines that quite literally don't make sense. No microtransactions, ... except for these microtransactions. Like, this is one of the reasons why I'm like, don't call pay to progress pay to win. Don't call cosmetics non-microtransactions. That's confusing as frick. They've always said that. I'm not faulting the developers. I'm just saying, in the realm of communication and gaming coverage, this is a continued problem. Midnight Suns clearly clarifies and says, we will be selling cosmetics, they're non-game impacting. And you still run with the headline that says, Midnight Suns will have no microtransactions. That's a microtransaction. Is anybody going to sit here and try and frickin' tell me that Fortnite doesn't have microtransactions just because it's all cosmetic? What in a frick weird universe are we in now? Where are we? It's completely stupid. Are NFTs considered microtransactions? I could see 2K implementing NFTs into a Marvel game. Yeah, maybe. They've always said, we have cosmetic purchases. We don't have power microtransactions or loot boxes. Pay to skin? Yeah, pay to skin's pretty good. There's nothing wrong with saying Fortnite has microtransactions. There's nothing wrong with saying Midnight Suns has microtransactions. Now, if you want to specify, Midnight Suns will not be pay to win. Midnight Suns will not have loot boxes. That's a really good thing to say. But when you say your game doesn't have microtransactions, and then in the next breath, you're being... Now, the developers didn't say that. When your headline says it, and then in the next breath, you're quoting the developers that saying, yeah, we're going to sell purely cosmetic purchases that won't be game impacting. That's a microtransaction, making your headline defunct and confusing. And so what's going to happen? The game's going to come out, so people are going to boot up the game, review the game or whatever, and people are going to see those cosmetics being sold, and people are going to be like, wait a minute, I thought this game didn't have microtransactions. These developers lied. No, they didn't. They didn't lie. They said quite clearly what the game would and would not have, and the gaming press completely jacked up the coverage and confused everybody. Someone's got to trademark that. Pay to skin. That's great. Yeah. That's pretty good. Our microtransactions don't include boosts, stat buffs, or in-game currency. That's what should be the push for in the industry. I think they could use Midnight Suns as a test to see what they can get away with as a Marvel game. So in the rumored Rockstar Punisher game, they can go full into microtransactions established by Midnight Suns. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so, personally. Local Sony shill discovers sensationalist journalism. It's not even sensationalist journalism. It's just linguistically clumsy, right? It's just linguistically clumsy to call something to be like, there's no microtransactions. And then when you look under the hood, you're like, no, there are microtransactions. What are you talking about? They're right here. They're selling skins. And there's nothing wrong with that. They're allowed to do that. What are we scared of here? What are you worried about? DLC is microtransactions, and I love the fact he doesn't argue against the shill line for that. It's not clumsy, it's irresponsible. It got you to save the article, didn't it? Did its purpose? I didn't save the article. I went to Google and typed Midnight Suns will have no microtransactions. Oh, you mean like when we saved it and we were potentially going to cover the story? For sure. For sure. We almost covered it. Yo, Melrose Mike jumping in as a member. Guys, don't forget we do have gifted members here as well. And if we get to 200 members, you will unlock that weekly Madam segment. We're not really pushing super duper high member counts here. I understand we offer quite a bit less on this channel, but we do think the member perks here are dope. And if you can only do one membership, we do encourage you to do that over on gaming. Right now, this channel is at 140 members. So it is slowly inching toward the weekly Madam Roast members only stream getting unlocked. Back on Team Double Dip, my man. Blogger's gonna blog. There will be no traffic on the highway. And by traffic, we mean buses and airplanes. There will be plenty of cars. Right. It's just so stupid. It's DLC isn't a microtransaction. DLC is a transaction. It isn't micro. Yeah, I don't agree with that. I would never call a DLC a microtransaction. I would call a DLC a one-time transaction. A microtransaction comes with it the idea that it's small micro pieces of spending spent on small micro pieces of goods. Like, it's a small transaction. It's a microtransaction. It's not a DLC. It's not a battle pass. It's not a season pass. It's a micro. It's small. It's a one-off. It's $5 here, $10 there, right? It's literally built off the idea of nickel and dime, right? Like, it's a little bit here and it's a little bit there. And, you know, in its sense, it starts to add up. Is this true? They decided did they remove all her scenes from Aquaman 2? Our city has running water. It's the sewage pipe, but it's still running. So is my DLC quest step, which lasts $5. Isn't that microtransactions? I'm not sure what you're saying. Give us $20 for a 10% chance at unlocking the Scarlet Witch House of M card. You then can spend $300 to convert that card into an NFT. Well, now let's be fair here. Hang on a minute. They have said there won't be any microtransactions of that kind at all. They have specified that. That will not be in the game. You will not be able to buy like characters and gear. The only thing they will sell, according to the devs, right out of the mouth of the devs, the only thing that they will be selling is cosmetics. That's it. Nothing else. There's nothing else. That's all they're doing. So I think if they're going to say that and go back on that, that's not going to go over very well for them. My assumption is, if you come out swinging that hard and that hard line and you say, no, we will not be doing anything but cosmetics, I would imagine they would stick to that. If you're just tuning in, we've covered a whole host of topics. We covered Fortnite Chapter 3 Season 3. We covered Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 released, which is they're going to be doing their reveal this week on the 8th. We've also covered Midnight Suns and why they said there wouldn't be microtransactions. Well, the press said there wouldn't be microtransactions, but since the very beginning, the developers have said, no, there will be microtransactions. There will be skins that are sold. Microtransaction is describing what you're buying more than the actual amount you're paying. Can we all just refer to micros as good business practices and then make sure pay-to-win micros have their own category of capitalist scum that's only referred to as mobile game KekW? What's up, Harry? Yeah, we had some great discussions this morning about Diablo Immortal, Harry. I reacted to Young's video. We had a killer morning stream. That morning stream was just absolutely insane. We were on a rocket ship. So many new people, so many views. It was nuts. People are very interested in that topic, and I think people are mad. You know, people are justifiably mad about everything going on, and I don't know. To me, it's totally fine. And again, like, people thought I was being, you know, pedantic or splitting hairs when I was like, we should not be calling pay to progress, pay to win. I didn't agree with that. And here's exactly why. Because now we're lumping micros into this own weird hybrid category. Oh, you were lurking while grinding some games. Okay, cool. So you were there. Smash roll, yeah, thunderstorms here, etc. Oh, you guys are talking about weather. I was like, huh? The company's against NFTs. Yeah, I hope they don't do NFTs. I mean, I don't know. I do not see NFTs landing in video games in a good way. I don't. The more we've talked about it, the more I've looked at it, the more that the people defending NFTs have kind of tucked tail and run for the hills and don't really say anything about them anymore after the, you know, they've already had one of their big busts already. I just don't think so. I think the NFT evangelists have run for the hills for now. 2K is against NFTs. Yeah, I don't think you're going to see NFTs in video games anytime soon, because every time they've tried to do it, I mean, I don't know. It could quite literally be a torpedo in the side of Doc's, but you know, Doc's game if he's not careful. They have relationships that wouldn't survive them leaning into that, says Creature. Microtransactions have been broken down into pay-to-win, pay-to-progress, and cosmetic, and two of them are an issue. I think one's an issue, but okay. A lot of people might think both are an issue. Is Doc the lone holdout at this point? Doc's not the only lone holdout. Who's the other company? Who's the other company that said they're cool to get into NFTs? Is it Ubi? Is it Ubisoft? The one that said they're going to do it. I think Ubisoft like quietly went forward with some kind of an NFT plan. And then there's Doc. Oh, it's Square Enix. Is Square Enix the one that quietly is like, oh no, we're going to keep going? Because they kind of stopped talking about it after they got their backlash. But Square Enix like quietly like was like, oh yeah, but we're still going to do it. And then, oh, Ubi backed off? Jiminy Christmas. There's plenty of NFT games out there. I'm talking about big games getting involved. 8-month milestone from Sven. Thank you so much, Sven. Square Enix, Ubisoft, and Sega, says Wheeze. Yeah, AAA companies all backed off almost immediately after they announced it. Yeah. By NFT, do they actually mean NFT, or are they conflating NFT with some sort of personalized digital good? Right, yeah. Since microtransactions apparently now refer to only, like, what, loot boxes? The frick. They did Breakpoint, but they had to slam it in reverse. Ubisoft tried and flopped. Konami already does. Yeah, okay. So most of the companies that came out with NFT announcements walked them back. They walked them back. But it's continued to have a presence. Interesting. Pretty sure UB doubled down, or that was Square. I thought they both doubled down and then backed off and then quietly said, oh yeah, we're still doing it. There's a lot more Square Enix isn't stopping. Sega plans on exploring. Konami, I thought we were talking about game companies. Oh, Ubisoft has doubled down. All right. We'll see how it goes for them. We got more gaming news for you. Just give me one second here. Freaking NFT thing is just... I don't even like covering it. I don't like covering it. I feel like every time we covered it, the audience just turned on us. They're like, yeah, this guy's going to talk NFTs. I don't want to hear about it. It's like there's just an immediate aversion. I think it's some of it's because people just do not understand what in the frick it is, and then other people just feel like they're being sold a bill of goods anytime it's being talked about. And it's hard not to agree with them. It's hard not to sympathize with their aversion and with their inclination to just back off and say, yeah, no, I'm good. Like, I actually 100% get it. I do. Got another story for you here. Summer Game Fest will primarily focus on already announced games, says Jeff Keighley. We all love Jeff here. We do. We think he's a great dude. But they're clarifying what Summer Game Fest is going to focus on. We will be covering that this week over on Reforged Gaming. Make sure you're subbed to all my channels for all of our great coverage of Summer Game Fest. Summer Game Fest founder and host Jeff Keighley decided to set players' expectations in advance, saying the show is primarily focused on stuff that is announced, rather than a bunch of world premieres you might have hoped for. Returning this Thursday, June 9th, Summer Game Fest will feature, quote, around an hour and a half to 2 hours of upcoming games footage, revealed Keighley during a Twitter Spaces audio session. Thanks, VGC. The stream will include both AAA massive games and indie projects by smaller teams. Guest appearances including Dwayne The Rock Johnson, yes, and are also on the table. In terms of bombshells, comparable to Elden Ring's reveal last year, Jeff Keighley suggested reining in your expectations. We're missing a G there in rain, I believe, right? No, that's the right way of spelling it. I'm thinking of rain, like to reign like a king. I was like, that looks wrong. Doesn't that look wrong? That's the right spelling, isn't it? To rein in, like reins on a horse. I'm thinking of reigning like a king. Sorry. Rein in your expectations, as it's impossible to raise the bar every time. Quote, what I would say is that a lot of the games we're going to show you are already announced, but will show new content to you. We're going to do some stuff for you, but definitely manage your expectations in terms of the megaton shocks that you're expecting. Is that spelled incorrectly? Rein in your expectations? No, it's spelled right, to rein in. Yeah. Rain wouldn't be correct, because like reigning like a king is not the same as reigning. Reign with a G is to reign like a king. Sorry. It just immediately looked wrong to my brain. I was like, that doesn't look right, but it is. It's the correct spelling. As an illustration of what is to come, Keighley dropped several names like the Callisto Protocol, Gotham Knights, Fortnite, and Cuphead the Delicious Last Course. Some titles will feature uncut gameplay debut for the audience, despite the fact that they're already technically revealed. Of course, the primarily focused statement doesn't mean we won't see any new game announcements at all during the show. For one, Keighley just hinted at a potential reveal on his Twitter account saying, quote, there's nothing like the feeling of seeing a good world premiere arrive in your inbox. He also, whoop, what the frick's going on? We're on The Gamer right now. TheGamer.com is where we're sourcing this from. He also confirmed that Summer Game Fest will feature, quote, a couple of new game announcements and hopefully some surprises if everything holds. Maybe we've even got to see Death Stranding sequel, which was already leaked by Norman Reedus a couple of weeks ago. So just wanted to set your guys' expectations with that news piece about what to expect there, because we will be covering it. And I actually am in full support of us only really getting more of an insight, more looks, and more glances at things that are already announced, as opposed to just a bunch of teasers and world premieres for stuff that's not coming out for a long, long time. I don't know. I this is a personal preference thing, but I have just kind of grown tired of that, you know? I've just grown tired of it. I feel that there's too many of these where they don't say much, they don't show much, and then you're just sort of like, what in the frick was the point of that? I do think that I actually feel better reading that. I know some people might read that and hear that news presser, and I don't know, maybe you feel like I'm coping or shilling. I actually prefer a presser that says, hey, this stuff that we already announced that's right around the corner, or is at least within a 12-month launch window of me talking to you, here's more looks at it. I would rather see that than a bunch of world premiere. And then it's a trailer of something that at the end is like 2024. It's like, huh? I learned that burying the lead is the proper way to spell a lead or lead. Oh, burying the lead is a thing distinct from a lead. Ironically, the lead is the leading part of the news story. Don't know why. That's so weird. Agreed, save the world premieres for games that aren't coming anytime soon for the Xbox showcase. Oh, come on. Don't be mean. Don't be mean. My last story is about Xbox. Not like a bunch of reveals, like maybe 4 or 5 new games revealed is my guess. Yeah, it'll be a smaller number. Some years, it literally feels like it's just world premiere after world premiere after world premiere. And I think that just gets a little exhausting when you know deep down nothing is coming anytime soon. You know, I don't know. That's how I've always felt about it, is you just start to get to the point where like, this is a little bit overdone. There's a little bit too much going on here. So let me give you your last story. This one's actually kind of big, honestly. We saved a decent one for last here. Xbox Game Showcase Extended announced for next week. I don't know why they would need an extended thing, but they have an extended thing. Okay. Summer Game Fest kicks off in earnest this week, and one of the biggest presentations will be the Xbox and Bethesda Showcase on June the 12th. If you watch the show and find yourself clamoring for more information, Microsoft has announced an extended version of the presentation a couple of days later. On June 14th, the Xbox Game Showcase Extended airs at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. This supplemental event features 90 minutes of new trailers, interviews, and in-depth looks at the titles shown during the Xbox and Bethesda live stream. Xbox Wire describes the presentation as, quote, all new, suggesting it may be more substantial than just a rehash of the June 12th event with a few extra tidbits. We don't know what the Xbox Bethesda Showcase has in store, but appearances from Starfield, Forza Motorsport 8, and Redfall seem like solid guesses. You can listen to some of our Game Informer editors pit their predictions against each other in the Game Informer show. Okay, thank you, Game Informer, for the article. So we'll probably cover that because 1 p.m. works for us, okay? 1 p.m. on June the 14th. June the 14th is a Tuesday, and why not? If they're saying it's going to be all new, if they're saying that it's not just going to be a rehash, essentially, of what we've already seen, then I would imagine that we would cover that with you guys. I don't want the people who accuse me of being a Sony shill to be like, yeah, he won't cover the, you know, extended version or whatever, because he's not a Microsoft fan or whatever. I actually really, really like the Microsoft pressers. I actually really, really like Phil Spencer. So I will cover that with you guys. 3 to 4 hours of Microsoft, they might kill it again. I guess my biggest concern, Mo, this would be my biggest concern, is what exactly do they have to show? Right? what exactly did they have to show? Because here's the concern I have, Mo, and this is for somebody that I like Phil Spencer, and I think covering the Microsoft pressers have always been my favorite. I think Microsoft tends to do a very good job with their pressers. If everything leading up to that point is stuff we've already heard about, more footage of stuff that's coming closer and games that are closer to launch, etc., you know, we're going to get that God of War Ragnarok release date. You're going to eat crow. I'm going to laugh. You know, those things are all coming this week. But the Microsoft showcase, the worry would be it's just going to be everything's next year, next year, next year, next year. Now, Microsoft may have just decided we got to take it on the chin. And the whole focus of Xbox Bethesda Showcase and the Xbox Bethesda Extended Showcase is 2023, like really, really prime the pump that next year is just going to just start firing off on all cylinders for Microsoft. Now, that could be good for them if they can do that. But like what Eugene is saying, I'm kind of thinking to myself, how much did you have, okay? How much did you have slated for 2023? All you're really adding to that is Redfall and Starfield. So whatever they already had planned for 2023, if those schedules are locked in and good, they've added two titles. Three, I'm sorry. There was another indie title they shoved over into next year. It wasn't really big. But so three titles that I know of for Xbox exclusivity got shoved into 2023. How much did they already have planned for 2023? Like, how stout of a year can 2023 be? Because if too much of what they talk about is 2024, you think we're going to see Avowed gameplay, potentially Fable gameplay? I think Avowed gameplay and Fable gameplay could really excite people. But again, the downer is going to be is how far out can that be? Because if it's that far out, if it's 2024, then you're looking at a showcase that for many people will feel disappointing. I'm saying that as somebody who loves covering Microsoft events, and I like Phil Spencer as a lead host. I think he does a great job. The night before Lono does the Xbox stream, he will have a vision of Kratos saying, "Boy." Boy. No, we're going to get the God of War Ragnarok release date before the Xbox Bethesda showcase. We're going to get that date beforehand. We're going to get that date on Thursday, I think. Rumors are that Avowed could be end of this year. I think we will see all 2023 games and a few 2024 games, says Wheezy. Where's Scalebound? Scalebound was completely canceled. I might be wrong, but I think they've got something up their sleeve for a holiday release as Vengeance. Listen, they could drop an absolute surprise. They could. I'm not saying they can't. More people come out today confirming God of War Ragnarok is done. The voice actors are talking. Dude, the cope is real. I can't believe how many people flocked to our God of War Ragnarok update on our updates channel and are just, dude, the cope is just embarrassing at this point. Like, cheering for that game to get delayed. It's just pathetic. It's like, what the frick, man? What in the world? Yeah, if voice is wrapped, if the voice actors are talking, yeah, come on, man. Come on. Sega announcement, Mega Drive 2 mini console. Yeah, we didn't cover that. We're glad that we didn't. That wasn't a very good event. We were considering covering it. Y'all Sony fanboys do chirp a lot for a bunch that already won the console war. I'm not chirping. I'm saying that if they have to focus on 2023, that could be very good for them. Because at this point, if they're just taking it on the chin and the next 6 months is very quiet for them, but they show really, really good gameplay and they're like 2023, 2023, 2023, it could be a very good year for Microsoft, right? It could be. If they have to do too much focusing on 2024, I think that'll be the more disappointing aspect. Now, you're not cheering, Mo. Your theory is that it's getting delayed. There are folks in my updates comments literally cheering and hoping that God of War Ragnarok gets delayed, which is completely baffling to me. It's like, why the frick do you care? You know, why are you so invested in this? It's so awkward. But they can, I think, override the disappointment. If too many of the Microsoft announcements are 2024, they can override some of that disappointment by showing Fable and Avowed. I think they could. Those are pretty anticipated titles. And gameplay, listen, gameplay goes a long way. They go a long way. Like, gameplay can really, really make people feel like, hey, we finally got to see something. I think Starfield gameplay would go extremely far to quiet the disappointment and the concern. If we can see actual gameplay of Starfield that looks good, Redfall, actual hands-on-the-sticks gameplay, I really do. I think it would really quiet some of the worry and concern. That's the issue, is so much has gotten kicked down the road. You got to come out swinging and be like, listen, it's going to be worth it, right? Our church is going through a remodel and we've been nomadic for like 4 months. It's been terrible. We've had to gather in all these other places, okay? But I got to see pictures and my wife got to see the completed building, well, the room. And she's like, it's going to be worth it. It's worth the wait. If you can get people to say, oh my gosh, that looks incredible, is worth the wait. That's going to be, that to me, if I was in charge, if I was Phil Spencer, the vision cast for the Xbox Bethesda showcase is, it will be worth the wait. It'll be worth the wait. What do we have here? If I had to guess, that looks like my son drew maybe a ninja holding a sword. Like, I see a ninja head, maybe an arm and legs. I don't know. I'd have to ask him what that is, Raijin. I'd own an Xbox if it was worth owning. My 360 Elite is still on my TV stand. Pops back in chat. Somebody say Fable? I have no dog in this fight. I own a PC and a PS5. I get the best of everything. They could also announce the next McDouble coming to Game Pass day one. It's time it comes with extra pickles, aka more microtransactions. I don't think that. I'm afraid Starfield can't live up to the hype at this point, no matter how good it is. That is clearly a puppy dressed as a ninja. You know what we need to start making my kids do? Is my wife usually writes on the back what the drawings are when my kids do drawings for like our relatives. I'm going to start having her do that for you guys. Like writing on the back or writing beneath it in parentheses what it is. I'm going to tell her she needs to start doing that. Also, there will be 2022 fans for Microsoft. I'm not sure what you mean, Mo. Yeah, I don't like that as a statement, Suede, that Starfield can't live up to the hype. I need to see gameplay before I start saying things like that. Because I think it could live up to the hype. I think it could be a stellar game. Oh, you think there's going to be 2022 games? I'm interested in what those games are, Mo, because outside of Scorn, I haven't seen much. Even some of the indie titles for PlayStation had to push themselves out of this year. It's already had to happen. It's more fun to make them guess, says Creature. I like people knowing what the drawings are, though. I think it's cute for people to know what it is. The intent of the artist doesn't matter in my book. I don't need your labels. It's a magic goat pony no matter what you say. For clarity, I'm like Wheezy. I've got it all, but I feel like the need to defend Xbox against the viciousness of the Sony folk. They're just mean. I think it's all those $10 upcharges. It's got them bitter. Well, to be fair, Zubair, if I come through the PlayStation guys, okay, we've tried to cover PlayStation content on this channel for 6 months. We've only recently gotten good reception to it. And all along the way, we've had to deal with little brother syndrome. Like, the people in chat that, like, insist that Xbox is somehow winning when they almost shuttered in 2014, and they're just now getting to a position where they could even be considered, you know, in the next 5 years being competitive. And yet we have to hear about how they're winning, right? A lot of the conversations have been largely disruptive. And we've had tons of people bail on the channel the minute I cover Sony, right? And so I think a lot of the Sony guys have just been annoyed that, like, good Sony coverage, we constantly get detracted into statements that aren't true, dishonest claims, misrepresentations of reality, and then a lack of support. It's like, I'm covering big mainline Sony games, and the audience bails. So I think that's one of the reasons why Creature is strategizing with me for, all, you know, in 3 months, it'll be a year of us coming over here and dealing with this weird aversion to Sony, right? My term, by the way, he stole it. Yeah, the little brother syndrome thing is something that Eugene came up with. It's a very fair position regarding topics getting derailed. Yeah, there were many times that Sony conversations got derailed into, like, weird Microsoft fanboyism. And it's like, I don't understand. Like, here's the thing. To the Microsoft guys, I gave you your due. I covered your papa. I covered your daddy, okay? I covered your daddy. I did. I covered Halo for a month. We did community game nights with Halo for a month. Me and Hilly shoutcasted. It was a blast. And your papa, your big daddy, your flagship fell on his face. And that ain't my fault. I gave it its due. I gave it its due. You won't call me a Sony fanboy. I spent a month on that dadgum game. I was doing weekly coverage of that frickin' thing. Don't you come at me, you know, not you, Zubair, but like the people that act like I'm like a Sony fanboy. And it's like, come on. Like, if there's big news, keep in mind, I've been the one for years saying Microsoft's got a good plan. They've got a good strategy. They're a sleeping giant. Don't forget about Microsoft. They've made some moves that could pay off big in the next 5 to 10 years. They could. You want to talk about playing the long game? I think they are playing the long game. I do. And I think you could see big, big dividends in the next 5 to 10 years. Seriously. I'm going to continue saying that. Even though it's been very disappointing, even though my Xbox One Series X is a disappointing console with respect to big first-party titles, I think it's a great machine. I really like it. I think Game Pass still has good value. And I really hope that for the next 5 years, we really see that rudder clearly turn. Because that'll be good for me. It'll be good for games. It'll be good for coverage. It'll be good for the Microsoft guys. It'll be good for Sony guys. They'll be like, hey, you guys aren't constantly disrupting Sony conversations. You finally have games to play. I end most days with my eyes closed looking for positive Xbox stories. It's going down on the 12th. Hey, I hope it's a good day. I hope it's a good day. I have to leave church early to coverage it, Mo. It better be a good day, okay? All right? The Lord will forgive me. I gotta leave the house of the Lord to come cover your Microsoft showcase, Mo, so it better be good, okay? All right? Don't tell your mama on me, though, for skipping out on church. No, I'm just kidding. No, but seriously, I'm gonna have to leave early to get home in time to cover it. Well, I was telling my wife, I was like, we're going to have to leave early. Like, we want to be live at a certain time. Like, what are you going to do? There's been plenty of games dropping on Game Pass. What y'all talking about? Yeah, I don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into the notch counting because the indie titles that have been hitting. Sure, they're nice. But we've gone round and round on this. Day and date AAA, third party, day and day indies are going to decline. They already have. They already have. Just this year alone, it's been in decline, and that will continue. I think it's a great service and can serve AAA third party and can serve indies very well. It has to be done in the right way, right? It has to be done in the right way. Bring the Lord with you. Xbox gonna need him. That's right. Oh my gosh. That is right. Oh my. I tell you what we're going to do. I want to give this thing a little bit of love in case anybody missed it. The first hour of my young yay reaction vid, I think is very, very good. I think it's very, very good. So I'm actually going to send y'all back over there and give that thing a little kick in the pants just to help out the VOD. Also, anybody not subscribed to the Reforged Gaming channel, this is a great opportunity for you to subscribe to the Reforged Gaming channel. We start over there every day. It's topic driven, it's gameplay driven. That's where all the Summer Game Fest coverage will be. This channel is news oriented. Every day we come over here and do the rundown here on Reforged Radio. Every Friday on this channel is the Reforged Roundtable. Me, Ginger Prime, and 30 and So Gaming chopping up the biggest news of the week. You want me to send him to an update? Did you do one today? Oh no, you did the Spider-Man one. No. No, I'll send you guys to the Spider-Man one. That's fine. I can do that. I'll do that. That's a short video. That's a 4-minute video. We'll just jump you guys on that one. If you guys are not subscribed, leave it. You say leave it? Let's just see. I feel like the two live ecosystems should self-serve, but let's see. Let's see what happens when we send them to an update. We have a smaller channel called Reforge Updates. It gets little 4-minute videos. That channel often gets 4-minute updates that we don't cover on any other channels. It's a great channel to be subscribed to for very, very quick 4-minute news, just blips like here, bam, 4 minutes, woof. It's people love the channel for its efficiency and just how quick it is. So if you're not subbed there, make sure you sub to all the channels, honestly, because they're all very different. We have 2 live channels and 2 upload channels. We have Reforge Gaming and Reforge Radio. That's where we go live. We have Reforge First Look and we have Reforge Updates. That's uploads of first looks at games and real quick updates. When this stream ends, it'll take you over to our Reforge Updates video about Spider-Man. So enjoy that quick update. Enjoy that little channel if you want to subscribe to it. Thanks for the massive support the last couple of weeks, guys. It has been insane. Truly, truly been insane. How well the channels are doing, how much support we're getting from member gifting and everything else. I really appreciate it. June's going to be a huge month for us. Big community game night with Fall Guys over there on Reforged Gaming. Don't forget about that. Make sure you have an active membership there. Make sure you're plugged into the Discord. Consider upgrading to Tier 2 if you want to be first in line for Fall Guys that night. All right. Enjoy the real quick update I'm going to send you over to. I'll see you guys bright and early in the morning over on Reforged Gaming. Thanks for watching another episode of The Rundown here on Reforged Radio.